welcome to PHP BB Weekly episode number 84 for Saturday, November 8th, 2008. And boy, has it been quite a week, definitely for us here in the United States after the very clearly historic election we just got to witness and take part in. At least I'm still up in bubbly cloud nine, whatever that you call it when you're very happy, or I'll still trying to grasp certain bits of news. So on that note, we're going to try to come out with an episode of PHP Weekly today to follow that. I'm your co-host, Douglas Bell.
And I'm David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life on the boards.
Mm-hmm. And you did not come up with an alter ego for yourself today.
Yeah, it comes with being a little too tired.
David's, we're going to try to make this show short.
That way I throw you off a little bit.
Yeah, David's a little under the weather today, so we're trying to help him go along. He said something about setting up a canopy, which is in rainy weather.
Yeah, you know it's going to rain here for the next 8 days straight. We're not going to see the sun until day nine.
Wow.
It's already been raining for 3 days straight.
Whoa. That's a lot of rain. Wow. We need that kind of rain down here in San Francisco.
Funny thing here, you know, like in Nashville, when you got a rain, you got a rain. It was like an inch in an hour, right? And then it was over. It was gone. Here, it's like it takes 3 days to get an inch. It's just three days to get an inch. Actually, it was like 2 weeks to get an inch. It just kind of slowly rains.
Hmm. Why should David always end up talking about either breakfast or the weather on this podcast when we start the show? Let's go on to our usual bit of housekeeping. PHP BB Weekly is a live podcast, so if you'd like to join us, please call in 724-444-7444 and enter the call ID number 12418. You'll be on the call where you can ask questions or chat with us or do whatever you want here on the show. It doesn't usually happen in all the episodes we've done, but you're still definitely invited if you'd like to do so. If you'd rather not, however, we have our free chat room. You can go to talkshoe.com to join in and participate in, which is a very active chat room, at least it has been. We also have an unofficial IRC channel, PHP BB Weekly, on irc.freenode.net, or you can also stream the show live via our website, phpbbweekly.net. And, of course, our wonderful sponsor is GoToMeeting. If you have to travel for business but are constantly feeling the wrath of problems, there's an easier, more affordable way. GoToMeeting, the award-winning service that lets you hold meetings over the internet with people in multiple locations. Just log on to GoToMeeting.com. You can start meetings with a click, and instantly everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen. It's much less expensive and much less time-consuming than meeting in person. And so if you'd like to give it a try, you can get a free 30-day trial. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. All right. Now,
this episode is also sponsored by Birdies. By the way, I spoke to SHS yesterday. He said he did get your message, but he didn't reply to it.
No problem. It's like the time zones. It's like midnight for him right now.
Expected that anyway.
Yeah. What do you think of our contest, though?
Actually, he really liked it, and I'll talk to you about that a little bit offline. But I will say that he really liked it, and he's got a couple things planned. He's going to send me a PM with something special, which will go out in a newsletter along with the results of the contest or the election.
Oh, you're actually going to do another newsletter?
Yes, I am, for the 3.0.3 release.
Oh, it's been like 8 months since you did a Star Trek Guide newsletter or something like that.
I know. People really like that newsletter, so I need to.
No, I mean, in our private newsletter articles forum, there's been nothing since March, and I was just telling someone in the chat box the other day, I don't even remember what the newsletters look like. I don't.
I really need to make it a little bit more automated so it's not so difficult for me to actually get a newsletter out, but
yeah,
I am planning on having one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
of course, we are going to talk towards the end of this episode about the results from our President Birdie contest and perhaps even have a little inauguration ceremony of the winner. But we do have some phpbb.com news to talk about, and we're going to start with you guys can't stop doing team member changes, team leader changes. I mean, I know that we have the election and there's this big leadership change that's going to happen soon. It doesn't mean you guys have to keep doing it yourselves. It was this week announced that Ashley Pinner, known as Neothermic, is stepping down as support team leader, and he's going to be succeeded by Yuri Rusko, Marshall Rusty.
Yeah, no, WGR did say in a previous announcement that there was going to be a lot of changes within the teams, and of course we saw that with Igor succeeding WGR as mod team leader, WGR moving to operations manager, and also you had Chris RLG being promoted to business administrator, business manager, actually,
yeah,
for PHPB, which is I was very excited about that move, of course. So, yeah, this is one of those changes, and, you know, we'll probably see some more changes in the future. And, you know, each change is for the better. It's for the advancement of PHPB as a software and moving us toward, you know, a certain direction. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with our meetings in London also, you know, getting a better feel for where the project needs to go, the future of the project, and where we're really headed for with it. So we're excited. We're very excited.
Yeah. I was actually surprised to see this come out because it feels like it was just recently that Ashley took over the support team. And I went back and looked, and Michael stepped down and Ashley took over last September back in 07. So it's only been a little more than a year.
Yeah, it has. I think that was the before WGR and Igor switch, that was the last team leader change. Has been a team leader change prior to that for a long time, so yeah.
Yeah, so what I was kind of surprised to know it's only been about a year. Is there a particular reason why Ashley went back to the regular support team member and after just only a year?
You know, I really don't know. I'm not within the support team, so I don't know the full reasoning with everything. So it's difficult for me to say for sure.
Okay. We've obviously had Yuri on the podcast quite a bit, and so we've gotten to know him quite a bit, obviously.
I actually had both Yuri and Ashley.
Yeah, we've had Ashley on here too quite a bit. Yeah, but it's going to be interesting to I'd like to know a good sort of outlook on, you know, any major things that are going to be like changing with the support team now moving forward.
Yes, there will be some major changes within the support team as far as you know, what they'll be doing and the progress they'll sort of be making from this forward. So yeah, you will see a lot of things different or advancing from this particular change.
Anything else we should know about this announcement? Or?
Not really. There's not a whole lot to say about it. Really, just, you know, Yuri is taking over as support team leader in succession of Neothermic, and Neothermic is going to remain on the team as a support team member. So,
yeah, and definitely we have a big congratulations to go out to Yuri Rusko. He's only been on the team a couple of years now. I'm pretty sure that he joined the team shortly after I left.
Yeah, I think
I just got a leg cramp. I just got a leg cramp right there. Go on.
He was on the team, I think, about 9 months before I joined. Mm-hmm. 9 months. So that would put him a little over 2 years, I think, which really is a good amount of time for it to be a team member of a specific project.
Definitely.
Look at it this way. He has more experience than Obama. So, hey.
Hey.
It's true.
What do you mean? I don't want us to get political in that sense in this, because I have a feeling you and I have differing opinions.
No, but it's true. You know, he's had 2 years of experience and very, very active as a team member. So it's kind of a good choice for the support team to pick him.
Sure. Very true. Yeah. And, of course, we know he's been pulling a lot of weight. He, you know, got London Invasion going, and that was a really big project right there to have to undertake.
Yes, certainly. And of course, he's going to be, I believe he's going to be in charge of the next invasion conference for PHBBB.
Has that been confirmed for New York, or is it still in the rumor stage?
You know, I would have to say rumor stage, but I would say it would be very, very unlikely if it was not going to be New York. But I still can't say for sure. I've still got to say it's got to be rumor stage because of because I haven't heard any recent news of, like, for Shizzle here, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see how it works. I'm still going to – I still like to see if next summer I can organize a San Francisco invasion.
Well, that was one of the reasons that we opened up the events for was so that a lot of other people can start events. And, and if you want to start an event or not just a little local event but actually a little more major, like, regional event, then we will actually help you get those set up.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly willing to for the help. We just have to have time to actually put it on. So that's why it will be next summer at the earliest, but if it's able to happen at all. So we'll have to see where that goes, but yeah.
Huckdown says in the chat, I hate cities. Well, actually, I do too. That's why I live out in the country, out in the middle of nowhere. No, not really out in the middle of nowhere, but this is why I live in the country.
I don't know. I think it must depend on where, you know, where you got used to when you grow up. I'm in the suburbs, so I'm more used to it.
Yeah. Well, I've always liked big cities, but I prefer living in the rural areas.
Anyway, that said, congratulations to Yuri. It was interesting to keep an eye on what goes forward. I wonder what team leader change we're going to be talking about next week. We'll have to see.
Or, and it may not just be team member changes or team leader changes, but it may be changes with the project itself. You know, we talked about that a little bit last week with some of the, you know, some of the direction that PHBBB is headed. And, of course, with that big announcement that WG Eric posted a little bit ago. So,
wait, what?
You read the announcement that he posted last week. Well, discussed that. Remember that was why
we talked about that last week. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it won't necessarily – the next changes won't necessarily be team member changes, but can be changes to the project itself.
Hint, hint. Oh, boy. I'll have to keep an eye on this stuff. Well, we're certainly doing that. However, this week – and I was hoping – we've been obviously talking – looking at the upcoming release of PHPBB 3.0.3 because a couple months ago on the blog, I believe it was at – one of the developers, I think it was Mike – posted a thing about template inheritance, which was one of the new features coming in 3.0.3. Well, finally this week, apparently, the members of the QA team and the people on the QA mailing list were treated to the first release candidate of PHPBB 3.0.3, and one of them posted the email that went out on that mailing list on your Star Trek Guide announcement forum, which is where I'm looking at now. And so There's a number of new sections of interest coming in this upcoming 3.0.3 release, which is going to be the first PHPBB minor release since last July. So let's take a look at some of the things that are going to be coming in 3.0.3, which will likely, I would assume, be coming out very shortly.
Yes, it probably should. You know that there's I've kind of calculated the estimates of when releases are going to be, and this one should be here pretty soon. It's within about a week and a half ago to the next couple of weeks that if it follows the theme of when releases were for the last two releases, then this one should be here pretty soon.
David, you know when releases of PHPBB 3 come out. They come out.
Right, but it's kind of interesting because they always – and it's not really – I don't think it's purposeful at all with the developers. It's just something that I noticed. Mm. It's like there's a certain time frame that they've been coming out recently, which is – it's actually kind of a good thing because, see, if they come out any sooner, then, you know, it's a lot of – you know, it could be because there's a lot of bugs. It could be because there was a security update. Well, it really isn't. What's been great about – PHPBB 3, there really hasn't been many security issues with it. In fact, they actually added a new tag to the change logs called security precaution, because before when they would release security precautions, it would be tagged as security thing. Now, what some of these websites do, what some of the security websites do, is they take that and go, oh, it's a that is a security vulnerability within the software, and then they add it as a vulnerability within PHP 3, when it actually was not a vulnerability. It was just a precaution against something potentially happening in a certain situation. So one of the things that, you know, they did was they added that security precaution. So it's like, we did this to improve security. Or like, you remember when the there was a lot of changes with an RC6, RC7?
Mm-hmm.
And they released that one, and that was, you know, from the security audit. And there was a lot of security precaution changes in that, not actually patching security vulnerabilities, but just security precaution changes. And so, but of course, all of the security, you know, a lot of the security websites, they take that and go, oh, it's a vulnerability in PHP 3. Well, actually, it's not a vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody exploited it or anything, and probably somebody still has. Obviously, because nobody runs on that version anymore. But so that's kind of a nice thing. But another thing that was nice with this particular version is that Toon Army, Chris Smith,
mm-hmm.
Who was added to the development team not that long ago, but he was added for the purpose of maintaining PHP 3.0.x branch, right?
Well, the other developers do focus more on Ascreus development.
Ascreus, exactly. So what that allows him to do is just concentrate all his efforts on fixing bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, implementing some of the more minor changes within 3.0.3. Because, of course, 3.0.x is not going to have really major changes, except for things like template inheritance is, you know, what I'd call a semi-minor. It's not really a minor change. It's more of a, you know.
It's a significant change.
It's a significant change, yeah, but it's not a significant change.
Back in, like, July, and we were talking about how, apparently, if you have, like, certain basic styles installed, such as all PHP BB 3 releases come with Pro Silver and Sub Silver 2, then other templates can actually inherit some of the things from those other styles or their templates, which helps them to, you know, sort of go. Did I get that right somewhat?
Yeah, and there's a couple other things too. That's, of course, one of the most major changes. It's within 3.0.3 is a template inheritance, which allows you basically, where you can just provide a single template file, and, you know, if you're just changing one or two things, let's say you're providing a template that, or a style that changes the CSS mostly, but it's really based on Pro Silver, right? It's based on Pro Silver. You're only changing maybe the overall header and the overall footer, but everything else is actually the same. You don't actually touch the HTML from any other file. So your template inheritance would basically, your style itself would only contain the two template files, overall header and overall footer, and the template inheritance would inherit the template from Pro Silver for all the other templates.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of a nice change for style developers. It's like, you know, if I want to create a whole new style, I might create a Pro Silver style, and the only thing that I do is I'm going to modify the style sheets and, you know, a single template file just to change something that I think should be changed within my new style.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have to provide the entire package. You know, I can just do a template inheritance back to Pro Silver, and that kind of takes care of that. That's probably the most major change within 3.0.3.
Also, template inheritance can be quite useful for users who are installing mods, because if you have certain templates that are inheriting other things, like, for example, rather than having a bunch of templates that all look similar to Pro Silver, the person who's installing the mod can only make the change to the Pro Silver template files, and then that change can be therefore reflected on all the other templates that they have. So having fewer files to deal with that are all very similar or pretty much the same makes life easier for mod installers as well.
Yes, it certainly does. And the other thing, yeah, so basically, you know, they would just modify the Pro Silver template, except if they have a new style that modifies a particular template that the mod modifies, then they'd have to obviously modify that template.
Yeah, well, then we're getting...
They won't inherit that file. That sounded very confusing, didn't it?
The point is we're getting... It gives us more options, gets us in a new territory, and we'll have to see, therefore, how that works out. But it's good because the question of, you know, when you're installing mods that modify template files is always kind of iffy for how those can then port over to other dramatically different templates, and that kind of becomes incumbent upon the person installing the mod to figure it out. So it can make life a little easier in that department anyway.
Yeah, certainly. Another change within 3.0.3 is one that I'm particularly excited about. It's called basically custom language path. You know how we have the custom template path within within 3.0. Actually, we've had that for a long time, where you could specify a custom template path. And this is helpful if you are obviously developing your own piece of major add-on to PHPV3, or if you're developing your own site around PHPV3, you don't necessarily want to use templates from within PHPV3, but you want to use it within your own templates directory. Mm-hmm. And so the custom template path allows you to do that. And now, but of course, if you wanted to add language files for your third-party system or bridge or whatever you're creating, if you wanted to add language files, you'd have to put those language files into the PHPV3 directory. Well, now, in 3.0.3, you can specify a custom language path and then put your language files in there, and it will add those as well as the PHPV3 language files. So that's a really nice change for developers and site administrators who are developing their own site or a third-party application that goes with PHPV3. And I'm thinking here like blogs. A blog could use that sort of thing. And we're using that for Titania. That was actually one of the reasons that it was implemented, and we talked about that in London, was Titania, which is the new customization database that's going to come out for PHPB.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically it's going to use its own directory. Its directory is going to be completely separated from PHPB3. It's completely integrated to PHPB3, but completely separated at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was actually what my presentation was at London, but he ran out of film, so he wasn't able to capture it on tape.
It almost sounds similar to something that could be used for bridges, like the Rock Bridge for Joomla and other things.
Yeah, where basically, you know, you don't have to modify any part of PHPB3. Yeah, it's perfectly integrated into PHPV3 using the hook system. Titania, in this case, doesn't actually use the hook system, but it's using object-oriented programming to integrate PHPV3 into its own system. So it's all self-contained. You know, it's all its templates, all its language files. Everything is self-contained. It's using modules, the module system and whatnot. But it's not adding a single file, a single line of code to PHPB3 itself. Mm. So it doesn't touch any of the core. That way, if we change this in the future and release a new change and you install it, you don't have to touch a bit of the core files. I could just delete my entire PHPB3 directory and put in a completely new one, and Titania itself would not change. It is not affected at all by changes made within PHPV3. So this is like the ultimate compatibility. You know how I talk about a lot on this podcast about mod authors making their mods very compatible in such a way they're only adding a single line of code to the core so that it doesn't modify it much at all. If they go to install other mods, they're not going to conflict with that mod. If they go to update PHPB3, it's not going to conflict with those updates, that sort of thing. This is like the ultimate compatibility when you don't even modify the templates.
Oh, yeah.
Directories themselves, they're not even touched.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be quite nice. We're working on it really heavily now. We're hoping to get its debut sometime in the future, and we'll have some blog posts on that too, I hope.
Oh, yeah. There's quite a couple of things here in the PHPV 3.0.3 about the moderator control panel, a number of new things there.
Yeah, of course, you remember the talks from London Vision, how they talked about how
they want to completely scrap the moderator control panel in Ascaris.
Yeah, the developers really do not like the moderator control panel. It's very messy, very, very, very complicated in the way that it does things. It's not doing things correctly. You know, every time they want to change something within view topic, they have to change it also in the moderator control panel. It's not, you know, it's not relying on code. So there's a lot of duplicate code, redundant code.
Yeah.
And it's very messy and screwy the way that it works from a back-end perspective. You know,
and that's not even thinking about what it looks like in the front-end, too.
You know, it's not so bad from the front-end perspective and usability. There's a lot of things that could improve, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's not quite as bad as the back-end part. It could function a lot better.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that they've they've talked about within changes that's going to be made in Ascreus, and really, I think we're going to get a whole new moderated control panel within Ascreus.
But how about these things that are new for PHP 3.0.3?
Let's see. Where's your link? I need to go.
Oh, your link? Yes.
Wait. It's on Structured Guide, right? He posted
it. It is. I don't know. I just PM'd the link to you. But it looks like there's a couple of things. One's a queue for newly registered users. Something about create shadow topics. Afterwards, move original topic to new forum. Create shadow topic from topic having reports assigned. The shadow topic should have no report assigned. And things like that.
Yeah, there were some issues with shadow topics or shadow reports, basically, where you would report a topic and that topic may be, say, deleted, moved, put somewhere else, done something with, right? And that report would be like a shadow report. It was like there, but it wasn't really there because then the topic was moved or dealt with something else, you know, wasn't linked together properly. So that was some bugs with that whole part of the system that were fixed. What else? Let's see.
Queue for newly registered users?
Queue for newly registered users. You know, I haven't actually seen that. I have to admit that I don't go to the what is that? I can't even think of what that is exactly. Queue for newly registered users. I have no idea. I can't remember what that is. I know I've read about it and probably even talked about it here, but I can't for the life of me remember that what that is for the moment. And creating shadow topic from topic having reports assigned. That kind of deals with the shadow reports. Or ghost reports is what we call them. But, well, yeah, some more bug
we'll talk
fixes
about it
really
next week. MCP. Whenever 3.0.3 actually comes out, we can figure it out by then, hopefully.
Oh yeah, you could tell that a release is coming very soon when you see an RC release.
Yes.
Is it going to come next week? Is it going to come tomorrow? Is it going to come a month from now? You really can't tell, but you know it's pending.
Oh yeah, definitely. You can start telling that once they start upping the version number over in Subversion.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's certainly a lot of bug fixes here, which he has listed. I didn't count them.
There are, there was, last time I checked, there was over 85.
Yeah.
Total changes, features.
There's some features here. They have a security precaution, features. They have, you can disable the template editor. Talking about custom language path. I'm just sort of picking up.
Disabling the template editor is really nice because you have boards like Joomla, right? Mm-hmm. I've worked a lot with Brad Baker, who is the administrator for Joomla, and he was always modifying his templates in the administration control panel. I'm like, don't do that, because what happens is that if you go to modify it within the FTP, you're modifying an old version, and then you update that version. You don't immediately see the changes, so you refresh the template. Well, as soon as you refresh the template, you lost all your changes that you made through the administrator control panel.
Yeah.
So I always prefer to modify the templates on your localhost. Mm-hmm. Upload them via FTP or whatever system you have.
The old-fashioned way, essentially.
Don't edit them through the administration control panel unless you don't want to give your people FTP access, whoever you have modifying that. You don't want to give them FTP access. Or if you know you're going to be able to export the templates when you modify them on your local host. So, that's still one way that you can take the file system that's on the server and modify it and then FTP it up to the server, is that you can export it from the administration control panel. But a lot of times you forget to do that. You forget to do that when you're modifying it via FTP. So this is a nice thing. You can disable that, like I'll disable that on my board. It does prevent people from adding things they shouldn't be adding. For example, on Structured Guide, we have a Subversion. The file system itself is entirely controlled by Subversion. Mm-hmm. And so when they make changes to the templates, to anything within our site, it has to be made through Subversion. They make the change, commit it to the server, and a team leader has to do an SVN update too. put that on the server. So we don't actually use FTP on the server. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. So I don't want people going into the administration control panel and modifying any template within the administration control panel. So that'll be one thing that I'll disable. So that is a nice thing to have.
I found the thing about the queue. It says it down towards the bottom. It's a possibility you can force user posts to go into the moderator queue if the post count is lower than an administrator-defined value. The guest posting is not affected by this setting.
Okay, yeah, I remember that change. That must have been it's kind of like
if you want to make sure your newest users have a couple of trustworthy posts before they have
access. You might set it so that you have two posts. So all I need to see really is two good posts from you, and you're approved. Now you may post 20 times.
Yeah.
It's all going to go into the moderator queue until I say, "All right, your posts are approved."
Yeah.
But nobody's going to be able to see them. So see what happens is spammers come, they don't post any relevant content at all.
Uh-huh.
Right? So their first post is going to be spam. Their second post is going to be spam. Their 40th post is going to be spam. Okay? So if you can catch it on the first two posts, then you know that whether they are a spammer or not. Mm-hmm. I can tell from, obviously from the very first post, I can tell if they're a spammer or not. If they're a human spammer, obviously that's different. They may not know that there's this restriction, so they may actually post spam in their first post as a human spammer, and whoop, that was too late. Now I gotcha. So really, people can either set this to one or two, and that would be sufficient for blocking almost – I'd have to say 98% of spam.
WordPress has a similar functionality, although it's not customizable. But if you go onto phpbbweekly.net, comment on an episode, if it's your first comment on there, it'll go into the comment queue. If I approve it, if you have a previously approved comment, then you can comment. It'll be fine right away. But it's like if your first comment will get moderated, essentially, and that helps. Whenever a kismet messes up on not catching a piece of spam, that way it doesn't go on the website right away. I just have to get an email. I have to deal with it myself. But it's a very nice tool that I've used there, so it's nice to see that coming over here.
Yes, it is. It's quite nice. I'm very happy to see that change. And, of course, that and the private messages change, where basically you can limit the private messages to a specific group or like if you're the registered users group, I don't want the registered users sending, say, more than PM to more than five people at one single time, right? And that was an issue that we had on phpv.com not that long ago, where somebody would put 1,000 users and send them a private message. So this prevents that from happening. Obviously, it would only be a restriction on certain groups. So like the registered users group would have a restriction, but all the other groups would not, because all the other groups are trusted groups. You have the QA group, the junior validators, mod team members, developers, all these other team members, right? They don't have that restriction, so I can still send it to 10 people at one time if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But the registered users are limited now with how many they can set, for example. And you can specify that limit on a per group basis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's also a permission setting for sending private messages to groups as well.
Yes, that's nice as well. So, you might have it so certain groups are not going to be able to send private messages. If you know you have a specific let's say you have some users who are particularly naughty in sending private messages to people, right? You can just add them to a group that restricts that. Mm-hmm. They can still, do everything on their board, but it's just going to restrict how they're sending private messages and whatnot.
They also have a new feature about Jabber functionality. Although I will be honest, I've known something that PHPBB has some kind of Jabber functionality, but I've never understood what the heck it is or how you
do it
or what it does.
Do you know what do you know what Jabber is?
I know what Jabber is. I know that my Google email address gives me a Jabber account. That's about all I know of that. It's like Google Talk essentially. Beyond that,
yeah, no. Yeah. So. It is Jabber. Well, what that allows you to do is, it's like an instant messenger for your board. So, like, you could receive notifications, notification of topic replies, notification of new topics or whatever, however you're subscribed to something, or notification of new private messages. you can receive those via instant message, basically, if you have Jabber set up on your board and you have a Jabber account as a user. So, like, I can specify in my user control panel if Star Trek Guide has a Jabber account on it, which it actually does, but we're not actually using it for some reason. All right, so it has a Jabber account, and I can go into my administrator control panel. I can enter my Jabber address and specify that my notifications be received via Jabber. So then anytime I receive a topic reply notification, whatever it might be, that would come in through that particular notification protocol.
Oh, okay.
So that's basically how Jabber works. We've had it for a long time, but there are some nice updates, I believe, that are in this particular 3.0.3 for Jabber.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, there's five changes.
Some of the things I don't never know about. PHP 3, Jabber's one of them. Yeah. Okay, well, definitely be sure to stay tuned for 3.0.3. It packs quite a big punch, but we've been waiting for it about 4 months, and hopefully by this time next week it'll be out and we'll be able to mention it briefly, although that's not guaranteed. We'll have to see how that works out. Okay, we are going to move on. We need to talk for the last time about our President Birdie election contest. As you know, about a month ago, we launched this contest to sort of parody the election of in the United States. And this, I've just been amazed. This is just a thing that I came up with right before I went to sleep on a Friday evening. And it's grown to a life of its own between you guys starting up Scoff, and the candidates have been putting on big propaganda campaigns and videos and things like that. And it's been quite an experience to get to oversee this and watch it happening and moving along. And it's been quite exciting. We had a general presidential election during November 3 through 5 this week, Monday through Wednesday, 36 hours long, in which two of the candidates moved on to a runoff. Alberti Einstein, represented by Hank the Cowdog of the Intellectual Party, got 10 votes, 37%. Lyndon Birdie Johnson of the BFA House Party, represented by House and Semideuce, got 9 votes, 33%. And the two candidates that were eliminated from the running were Sir Birdie Jr. of the Anti-Bush Party and Barocco Birdie of the Communist Party, which both got 4 votes, 14%. We had a runoff election from Thursday until Saturday, which it ended just about 4 hours ago, as of right what I'm speaking right now. And so we have joining us the representative for the campaign of Alberti Einstein, Hank the Cowdog.
Hey, guys.
Hello. Ed, I forget what your real name was again. It's been 2 weeks.
It's Jordan.
Jordan's joining us. And trying to get his Skype working, Semideuce will be hopefully connecting or not.
Redirected to, okay.
As soon as his Skype works out, he's going to join us on behalf of Lyndon Birdie Johnson, since House was unable to make it today. While we figure that out, I'm going to ask David if he because I know, David, you are the king of the sound effects on this podcast after what we had a few weeks ago. Do you have a good drum roll
sound effect? Don't ask me to play one now.
What?
I didn't set up. Don't ask me to play one now.
Okay. We'll have to make it, when we get to that point, we'll have to make our own.
See, drum. I should have had the, the Jeopardy music going on, right? Sound effects were hard to play when you weren't expecting it because you were like, okay, turn it off now. And I'm like, you don't do that when you're playing sound effects via radio. You don't just, all right, turn it off now. Cluck, that's it. Just cold turkey.
I thought I wasn't ready for them. So they were like, what the heck are you doing, David? Incidentally, I've had a lot of people who have been asking me. I don't know why they're asking me because I have no control over it. But where has Scoff been this week?
Scoff, I don't know. I'm going to ask Scoff that when Scoff walks up the stairs.
I thought his name was Bob.
You know, they, and they have an interview from Glacier National Park that would have been really funny to post. But I think they'll probably still post it anyway, even though the election itself is over. But
post whatever you have. Or I'm probably going to do like a compilation when we'll get like a compilation episode, just a special episode out this week of everything you guys did on Liskov. Yeah. Well, obviously, you guys have – they'll have to do at least a post-election episode coverage or something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean
– I you know what?
The contest may end on this episode, but the forum will keep going, obviously. It's like
– Yes, I think it will. I think there's been some talk privately of begging me to let them continue in a certain manner. So I think I'll go ahead and do that. And it was something that SHS was really into, so I okay, I'll go and do that.
Uh-oh. You know, I think the official PHPBB podcast has found its successor. Scoff Media is going to become the successor to PHPBB's podcast.
I was referring to Birdie Bond itself, but I don't see Scoff as actually dying permanently either.
Oh, no. But, you guys.
I think Birdie Bonds will continue.
Well, eventually, Scoff maybe may want to interview me or something like that.
I don't think it would be bad. We have some future plans. There's some people who want to kind of join us. So I'd like to see I'd like to see some interesting new things coming with Scoff, and that's kind of hard to do if your election is over. But I think it will. I think Birdie Bond itself will continue. So that
it might depend, you know, because. All I really cared about was the election. We're going to do an inauguration ceremony on this episode. And from that point, I was going to see it like that's over with. But perhaps the new elected president, when we renounce who that's going to be, wants to continue going on with their presidential job, so to speak. We're still having difficulty getting.
Well, you'll have to get the Lyndon Birdie Johnson campaign to update their technology.
Can't seem to get Semi on right now.
He just installed Skype. So we're having a little bit of difficulty.
Well, I will say that Scoff has been great in covering the campaign. It's been great in keeping me up to date on the campaign. They did after we did our debate 2 weeks ago, and he did a straw poll. And I don't recall. I mean, where is this his straw poll? It was so as of
the it's
straw,
still it should still be in there, right?
It's ironic that the straw poll actually showed Barack O'Birdie on top.
And yeah, it shows you how polls can be so much different than actual voting.
Yes, I mean it's not very representative. The straw poll had 15 votes. The actual vote that we had. In the first election, had 27. That was the 27 valid votes. We had a little issue with somebody voting a lot of times. if you go on the forum, you can find that out. And our runoff election that just finished this morning had 21 votes, which we get to announcing.
But the election itself had 21 votes, or the winner had 21 votes.
The election total had 21 votes cast.
Oh, okay. That's let's see. Was that less than the first?
It was 6 less than the first time.
Okay.
So we had slightly less participation. But then again, I'm kind of not surprised because probably more people were thinking about voting during around November 4th with the United States election than now with, you know. Though it was interesting to see that the we seem to have a bit of an anti-communist and anti-Borg slant here going on. I was kind of surprised with where the vote ended up going, and I know we're keeping you guys in suspense while we wait for Semi to try to get on here. Let me try calling him again. But you know, I was kind of expecting the original vote to go to one of the people that got eliminated right off the bat. So expectations were interesting. All right. You know what? I don't think Semi's gonna be able to come on. So you know what, Semi? It's don't worry about it. It's we can probably figure something else out because I think we should stop holding you guys in suspense for so long. We should make the announcement of who won. So, David, are you good at doing a drum roll by yourself?
Oh boy, a drum roll. No. I'm not. Let's see, that works.
All right. Where did I put the results? Oh, here we are. Okay.
I don't have a desk like that to slap on.
All right. Lyndon Birdie Johnson got 9 votes, 42%. Alberti Einstein got 12 votes, 57%. So congratulations. Alberti Einstein is the winner of the 2008 Birdie Mons presidential election. Woohoo!
Yay!
and joining us, reminder, is Jordan, who is the campaign manager for Alberti Einstein. And because David did not have a celebratory sound effect ready, I'll go ahead and edit one in later. So,
you know, I have this theme music you can put on there. Actually, what's kind of funny is several candidates asked me for the theme music that we used on the debate, but nobody actually used it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But definitely,
I think we just wanted to listen to it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh boy, David, you've got this going on. But yes, we have everybody in the chat room has given congratulations to Jordan for his campaign. Of course, Lyndon Birdie Johnson ran a strong campaign, and I must, with all due respect, I was amazed at some of the wit that went into this. Thing. I was showing yesterday at my school, my technology teacher, this thing, and she loved the wit here. Lyndon Birdie Johnson was hilarious. Alberti Einstein is quite funny. Barack Oberti is interesting, although I don't know why you associated him with the Communist Party. But overall, a great contest. Lyndon Birdie Johnson did definitely run a very impressive campaign. Heavy use of Photoshop, an interesting story about being a war hero. And as for you, Jordan, I think you have a lot of smarties you have to start giving out here. although I'll pass on those because I don't really like smarties personally. But
oh, by the way, the interview that we did at Glacier, that's going to be a video interview.
Ooh.
Not an audio interview.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually really good. I can't wait till Francis actually gets it posted. He needs to upload it and get it posted. Want him to do that right away, but it might have affected the campaign.
Anyway, let's get on with our inauguration ceremony. And so this is what of course the most important thing for that is the oath of office. So I'm going to ask. I have no idea if he's actually doing this or not. But but Jordan, on behalf of your candidate, if you would like to raise your right hand. And repeat after me. Let's see. I, Hank the Cowdog.
I, Hank the Cowdog.
On behalf of Alberti Einstein.
On behalf of Alberti Einstein.
Do solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of Birdie Mons.
Office of President of Birdie Mons.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of Birdie Mons.
The Constitution of Birdie Mons.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Douglas.
And with that, it's all. At this point, you have an open mic if you'd like to give some kind of inaugural address. It's all yours.
All right, I wrote a speech. Birdie Mons, today is a day that will be long remembered in history. I have had the great honor of managing Alberti Einstein's campaign, and I feel that I have done my job well. Alberti Einstein has the great honor of being elected into the office of president for this great Mars country as the first ever Birdie Bear president and the first ever elected leader of Birdie Mons. I'd like to take a moment to congratulate the other three candidates that gave us a run for our money in this election. Lyndon Birdie Johnson had a very strong campaign based around cookies, and I admit that even though I campaigned against his cookies, I did fall for them once. This moment has been swept away into the depths of wherever chat logs go when somebody manages to find somebody online and starts the chat. We did not get the majority of the votes in the initial election, not by a long shot, as Lyndon Birdie Johnson got one vote less than us. He forced us into this runoff election, and he was a very popular candidate. Congratulations for making it this far, LBJ. Then there's Barack Uberti, who I said in the debate that I would select as my vice president if we had a vice presidential election. His campaign, based around communism, made some strong points and did win some votes for him in the initial election. However, not enough to beat Lyndon Birdie Johnson and make it to the runoff election. Barack Uberti, good job with your election campaign and good luck with your future political campaigns. I imagine the hardest working Birdie in this election was Sir Birdie Jr. He worked hard, literally, building his campaign, but it wasn't enough to win him any more votes than Barack Uberti in the initial election. Of course, we must respect the fact that Sir Birdie Jr. was the first to enter this election and ultimately made it possible. Thank you, Sir Birdie Jr., and better luck next time. Thank you, citizens of Birdie Mons, for voting Alberti Einstein into office. I'm very, very glad that my ads convinced many of you that Alberti was the best choice for president. I know at least one citizen was convinced to vote for me because of my television ad. Thank you, Frost and Rubin, who were my strongest supporters. They encouraged us and openly supported us in this election. Alberti Einstein and I are very grateful to those who voted for us, and I hope I can show my thanks by making a great president for this country.
That was fantastic.
Congratulations. And we do apparently have some kind of a prize that we were able to scrape together. I wasn't expecting much. Splinter, Star Trek guy.
He's in the chat room, by the way.
He has some kind of a laptop, and I don't remember what it was. What is it? Splinter, help me out here. In the chat room. Also, I believe that either David or somebody is going to craft some kind of a presidential rank or something like that, which you'll be able to show off on Star Trek Guide for a while anyway. I'm not sure how long you're going to keep it, but it's like, you know, bragging rights, you know, something like that. So that's probably the more important prize, in my opinion. Splinter, help me out.
There were two Birdies who were advocates of the continuing Birdie Mons forums, so I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if that ends up happening, I no longer have anything to do with it. But if Jordan, if you want to keep playing along with Alberti Einstein in Birdie Mons, you can keep the forum going. Although
actually,
David, you might want to rename the forum then from President Birdie Contest just to Birdie Mons.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Yeah, we'll figure that out at a later date. But I can say that I believe that the Birdie Mons itself will continue. So,
and everyone's asking if we're going to do this again in 4 years. My response is, I have no idea where the heck I'll be in 4 years. Okay.
Yeah, neither do I.
It was four years.
A lot could change in 4 years.
Actually, it was 4 years ago this weekend that I got my very first ever PHP BB2 mod submitted and approved by the mod team. Did you know that?
Really?
No, 4 years ago. It was late October, early November 2004. Do you know what that was called? It was a very simple mod called Add Forum Index Link to Overall Header.
I don't think I've ever created a mod that small. No way. Obviously, I have made those changes to my own board, but I don't think I've ever released anything quite that small.
I released it as a mod, and amazingly enough, they approved it. I don't know why. You would think that they would probably have thought it was a too simple of a mod.
I think the smallest mod I've ever released, and of course I waited until I was a mod team member to actually release mods, sneakily enough. I think that the smallest mod I ever released was the logger. What was it called? The logger tool. Basically, it logs errors that people receive. You know how you're browsing PHP3 and you've got debug and debug extra turned on, and you come across an error in the header, you know, and basically, if somebody comes across that and they're like, oh, darn, that, you know, that's an error, and they just continue browsing their own way, you never get to see it. You never get to hear about it or anything. Well, the logger basically allows you to log those things to an error log, like the PHP error log, and then you can go view them later and make those fixes as necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the point is, it's 4 years, a lot has changed. Podcasting didn't really exist 4 years ago. So who knows where we'll be 4 years from now. So
be syncing, we'll be syncing into the internet instead of talking into
I don't think that'll happen that soon, David.
You don't think so?
By then, who knows? Maybe I'll be using the internet on iPhones and stuff.
Will iPhones even exist by then?
Well, I don't see why not. You know, the iPod's existed for 7 years, so.
That's true.
Point is, well, the question is, will this podcast still be going? And it likely will, but who knows who will be doing it still. You don't know.
Yeah. There will be a PHPBB podcast because PHPBB is not going to ever go away. So,
yes.
Just the question is,
the question is, will podcasting go away? So we'll have to see how that works.
Podcast? Well, what would replace it? Radio?
Yeah.
You know, podcasting. Oh. Podcasting
is. That's what we need. We need a PHPBB weekly radio show. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is basically what podcasting is, except it's over the internet.
Okay, we need to stop going on for this. I tried to give you a short show, Dave, and it's not working out. Nevertheless, I don't know.
It's been under an hour.
All right. I don't know if there'll be any other prizes that you're going to get, but definitely for our prize that will ante up will be you'll get some bragging rights, and you're going to get a cool presidential rank on Star Trek Guide. But overall, to all four candidates, great job on all your campaigns. Thanks for actually participating and investing 3 weeks of your time into making this a lot of fun. It's been great. Experience, and it's also given us stuff to talk about on from the last four episodes of this podcast.
Not like we didn't have anything else to talk about, but it was certainly interesting.
Yeah. And congratulations to Jordan. Thanks for joining us today and great speech. And that we're going to move on now to our mod and style of the week. Mod of the week, I picked this mod for one reason. The title caught my eye, and I dare you to try saying this title five times fast. It's called Activation Justification. It's by Tara Frost, who's one of the mod team members. And this is kind of interesting. It's specifically intended for forms where they have admin activation enabled. You know, there's different levels of activation. And one of them is where when a new user registers, the administrator has to be the one to approve. But the question is that when that's enabled, how do you know as an administrator whether the person who's just signed up just to spam it or not? So what this mod does is it adds a thing to the registration page where people can justify why they signed up and why you should activate their account. And so this helps you decide who should or should not be activated and who shouldn't be. This is almost really cool because it's almost like, you know how we've been doing this political campaign contest for the past month where the candidates had to try to get people to vote for them and say why they should vote for them. Well, this is almost like you're doing a political campaign to get the administrator to let you on their board.
Well, that's a whole lot, heck of a lot easier. You know, you just give a good reason. Because I want to talk on your board. I don't know.
I wonder how long it'll be till spam bots figure this one out, and they'll just post a really good reason, and then start.
You know they won't. You know, because a lot of forms, you know, I have a lot of contact forms, and a lot of the gibberish that they post in there, you're like, you know, what good did that do? You know, so we have some forms, some contact forms where basically it redirects you to spam.com, I think. If you post a certain number of links that are obviously spam, so it just redirects you there.
Yeah.
They've gotten a lot of traffic from some of our sites.
All I can say is it's actually, when you sit down and really think about it, it has come out of a bit of a use because, you know, if you're making the administrator be the one to approve all new registrations, but then all you're really given is their username. It's like, well, am I supposed to approve them or am I not supposed to approve them, you know?
Although, yeah, I don't think this.
But frankly, I think you should only use admin activation if you really want to keep it within a certain known group of users in a community, like more private, closed communities. Whereas if you were going to have like anybody come in, it would be maybe user activation is a better way to go. Still, there are probably a number of places that would be interested in a mod like this, and obviously looking at the thread, there are a number of users who were looking for a mod just like this, and so There you go.
There was probably even those users who said that it should be included in PHP 3 core. I'm not sure of a mod that exists for PHP 3 where somebody hasn't said that.
It's hard because, you know, there's so many things that in PHP 3 that were PHP 2 mods, you know.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah. Nevertheless.
That's why people think, oh, you know, if I make this mod, it should become part of the core. Because that's what happened with 3.0. All these 2.0 mods became 3.0, part of 3.0 core. Well, actually, that's not really true.
Nevertheless, activation justification, try saying it 5 times fast, is the mod of the week by Tara Frost.
Wait, I thought you said 3 times fast.
I said 5 times fast. I did it 3 times fast. I see. Activation notification. Activation notification. Activation notification. I didn't do it 3 times fast. I just messed up.
3 was the better goal, yeah.
I missed up on the 4th one. My tongue hurts. Style of the week. I wanted to do one more sort of autumn style, like fall type style or something like that. So this one is interesting. It comes from phpbbhacks.com this time. It's called Forposium SEO Orange, I believe. And it's kind of an interesting orange-white theme with a little bit of gray. However, one of the things that's kind of really interesting, you go down to the info section, where they have the who is online and the statistics and the birthdays, and he's actually come up with this thing where it kind of uses some JavaScript to alternate between viewing who is online, statistics, and birthdays. So, you know, click on one, it shows who is online. Then you click on statistics, it'll switch that to statistics, you know, birthdays as well. Kind of cool.
I like to see styles where the author puts some effort into the style.
Yeah.
You know, not just release a different color of ProSilver, you know, for example.
Of course. Uh-huh.
So I like to see where they put some effort into the style, and this is definitely one of those styles where, you could tell they put some effort into this, and it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It looks nice. It's pleasant. You would think, oh, orange and beiges and stuff like that would not look good, but this still looks good.
Yeah, I really like on the Who Is Online how he makes this orange and white kind of globe thing, which is really cool.
Yeah, I like that too.
It's based on It is based on SubSilver 2, so it fits in with SubSilver 2 in that form.
Yeah, that's a notch back, but that's okay.
SubSilver 2 has things going for it. You know, I will be honest. I still have a big place in my heart for SubSilver.
You know that SubSilver, specifically SubSilver 2, is going to be dropped for Ashgrace, right?
No, I did not know that.
Yep. SubSilver 2 will go away. Did you read that whole blog post on Ashgrace?
I don't remember. Sorry, I'm dealing with that shock of finding out that SubSilver 2 is going away. That's sad.
Yeah.
Someone will probably port SubSilver for
Ashgrace. Oh, you can count on that. You can count on it. That will definitely happen.
We will see.
A lot of people still like SubSilver 2, so I don't think it's going to go away. Plus, a lot of styles are still based on SubSilver 2 because a lot of people, I think, haven't quite figured out what CSS is. No, seriously. Well, okay, so ProSilver it's all powered by CSS, right? It's the layout, the everything. If you took the CSS away, it would look really interesting. It's the whole layout and design is based on table list design, CSS. If you took the style sheet off of SubSilver 2 or SubSilver, it really wouldn't look a whole lot different, just without colors. So that's kind of the difference with it. SubSilver 2 is table design, so it's not going to be changeable much. You know, you have a specific layout that no matter how much you want to change the CSS on it, you can't change the layout through CSS.
David.
With ProSilver? I know. With yeah. ProSilver, you can
I'm one of those people that hasn't discovered CSS yet.
I know that. It was obvious.
Did you see how bad that ballot I did on the contest was? Obvious I haven't discovered CSS yet. I didn't even try to make it look realistic, okay?
I was trying to look for exploits in your code.
not much room for exploits. You know, there's not much room for much input whatsoever. Yeah.
There is, but it's not significant enough to bother.
The first line in there is a comment that says, this is not intended for public use, okay? This is my own sorry little code. I wouldn't even have put it out there, except I thought, you know, with all this news about, you know, voting machines and touchscreen machines and these companies doing proprietary, I ought to show them what it is to be an open source voting developer. And so I said, forget their proprietary software. I'm going to be so awesome. I'm going to make my code just open to the public, not for them to tell me how bad my code is, as I know it's bad, but so that they can be rest assured that, yes, we are actually counting their actual votes and that it's going somewhere.
You know, they have initiated voting online, I think, this election. I think we didn't actually go that way, but they had voting online here, at least in Washington.
Oh, well, not my county. Not my county. We have these – we actually – interestingly enough – oh, well, I'm sorry. We're going off on a tangent again.
Yeah.
Isn't that typical? Forposium SEO Orange by Gokin is the style of the week. Our links to our modern style of the week will be on phpbbweekly.net, and phpbbweekly.net. Oh, I can't talk anymore. phpbbweekly.net is our website for our podcast. You can go to find show notes for this show and all of our other shows as well. Also, check out our forum at StarTrekGuide.com, the phpbbweekly podcast forum, as well as the apparently continuing on Birdie Mon's forum, which will be there. Once I post the results of the election right after we finish this show, I will no longer care too much about it, but I'll definitely keep an eye on it and see where things go. It's interesting to see. And good luck, obviously, to Bernie Einstein's new administration. Yes. Our next episode of PHP... go ahead, David.
I have a feeling some certain people are going to have fun with the new forum.
Definitely.
I can only imagine. Bob. Our next episode of PHP BB Weekly will be next Saturday, November 15th, episode number 85, at our usual time of noon Eastern Standard Time, 1700 UTC. And also, PHP BB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, so for some other great technology podcasts that probably don't digress quite as much as we do, go to techpodcasts.com. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks, of course, to Semi-Deuce, who tried to join us today but wasn't quite able to. However, again, good job on your campaign. And to everyone else who was able to do that. Also, David Lewis, who was able to join us today despite having a cold. Try to get some rest.
And, that alarm clock had to work hard to get me up.
Yes, we know. Try to get some rest, and hopefully it'll be better next week. And I'm, of course, Douglas Bell. Remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag. You're it.
You're it.
Thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.